You're listening to Package Your Genius, a conversation designed to give you clarity around your calling and serve as a catalyst for your career. I'm your host, Amanda Miller Littlejohn. Well, I am so excited to be here today for another episode of Package Your Genius. And I'm super excited because I have a guest, a very special guest, who is going to be talking about a topic that is pretty near and dear to my heart in terms of something that I'm constantly working on. But I'm also excited because he is an alumni of the Package Your Genius Academy. And so it's such a treat to be able to be here with him and to hear his message and share that with you all. So welcome, Miko, to Package Your Genius.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. So for those who are new to me, I'm Miko Marquette Whitlock. I am the founder and CEO of Mindful Techie, an organization focused on helping purpose-driven professionals and organizations tackle issues related to technology distraction, information overload, and work-life balance in the digital world. And in my previous career, I was a communications director for a nonprofit association and dabbled in all sorts of things related to technology in the nonprofit sector.
So that's a lot. And I mean, I just remember when we first met and, you know, I saw your website and just heard the name of your business, Mindful Techie. It was so intriguing. And even like your branding, I'll show everyone the logo with the glasses. I'll zoom in so you can see. It's just like you. And it's really cool. So how did you come up with Mindful Techie? Where did that originate? And what made you start doing work in kind of the mindful communication space?
Yeah. So, you know, all throughout my professional career, I've been involved in technology communications in one form or another, and particularly, I guess, working on social impact, working on serving underserved communities. And simultaneously in my personal life, you know, I've always been a person that's been really, you know, interested in going deep and developing spiritually. And I reached a point where I felt like there was this disconnect where I had to be one person at work and then one person outside of work. And so I reached a point where I wanted to figure out like how to bring all those together. And I had a turning point a couple of years ago where I was really frustrated by and overwhelmed by the work that I was doing at my particular organization. I love the work that I was doing. I love the mission. But there just weren't enough people, there weren't enough resources, and there was just so much work to do. And I took that deeply personally, because when I commit to something, I want to do it 100%. And so I found that I was, you know, working all sorts of crazy hours and not really taking care of myself and not really doing a lot outside of a work in terms of a personal life. And I had to come back to, you know, my spiritual work. And I came back to that, and I was like, I have to figure out a way to integrate these two, because I can't continue to separate. Like I'm gonna get sick or something's gonna happen, and I gotta figure out like how to bring these two together. And so, long story short, I actually gave a talk about this at the nonprofit technology conference a couple of years ago about my struggle with this, about my struggle with work-life balance, my struggle with all the technology tools and all the information and trying to figure out like which tools to use and how to use them in order to actually get stuff done and not just sort of be in this perpetual place where you're sort of doing stuff and not actually being productive. Right.
Right.
And I took a risk and I brought my spirituality to it. You know, I had the audience do a mindful meditation. It was 30 seconds. And I just talked about how that mindfulness and that reflection allowed me to be a better person, not just, you know, spiritually, but bringing it to my work to be more effective in terms of how I was actually using the tools, how I was actually managing my team and connecting with my colleagues.
So when you say, back up a little bit, because you say, okay, you know, I'm feeling a mess. I feel like I need to, you know, interplay these parts of my life, or I feel overwhelmed, which I think is a feeling that many of us can relate to, but we wouldn't really know what to do. Like personally, when I feel overwhelmed, I'm just overwhelmed. Like it doesn't really go anywhere. So how did you was this something you were already doing personally? Were you meditating? Were you doing yoga? And did you feel centered at home? And then you said, okay, I have ways that I can center myself personally, but for whatever reason, it's not crossing the barrier of work.
Yes. So exactly. So I have been evolving and sort of, I think at that point I was learning more about meditation and reflection, but I've always been a really spiritual person anyway. So like, you know, I'm really involved in my spiritual community here in Washington, DC. And so I had, as you said, practices to help me, to be calm and to, really, I guess, be a better version of myself in my personal life. But I think maybe I had like a fear that people would think differently of me if I tried to bring that to my work, right? And so
that's interesting. Yeah. what was the fear? You felt like they would think you were woo-woo or weird, or what did
maybe people would think it was like unprofessional that I'm trying to like bring, you know, meditation or reflective practices to the organization. So, like
you walk around barefoot.
And so you just never know. So I took a risk, and I actually, I didn't have control over necessarily the entire culture of the organization. Like I couldn't like, you know, write an edict saying like, we're going to do it this way. But I had a team that I was managing. Right. And so I took that to my team, and I encourage, one of the things I implemented was a mindful, what do we call it? A centering moment at the beginning of each team meeting, 5 minutes, where we took turns as a team bringing to the table practices that we use to center ourselves amid all the chaos of the work that we're doing. So in many cases, you know, sometimes we're doing tedious work depending on the time of the year we're planning for meetings and conferences, and it can be really easy to lose sight of why you're actually there. What's the purpose and the mission? Who are you serving? And how are you going to be of service? And so I work with my team to say, I meditate. I watch, you know, inspirational videos. You know, I do journaling, or, you know, I train for endurance races. This is how I center myself. How do you do that? And I was really blown away by how receptive people were to it and how creative people were. You know, one person walked us through recipes that he and his wife use. And so cooking is one of the things that they do in order to relax and to stay centered. One person is a photographer, and they walked us through a photography exercise using light and all this like really interesting things around light and color that I had no idea you could do with the camera. Other people have done things like, you know, we watch, you know, when Solange released her cranes video, that we watched that and we talked about that. And we actually, believe it or not, we talked about how it actually relates to communications and technology and the work that we were doing. So we were able to find threads alongside being able to just have a serious conversation about how do we take care of ourselves and stay centered in the busy, you know, world and the busy work that we're doing.
And what was the result of doing that exploration with your team and having them identify, I guess, really self-care practices and mindfulness practices for them to manage the work? Like, what did you begin to see as a result of both you adding it to your work and them kind of bringing it to theirs? And I'm going to take a sip of this coffee.
Yes. So I think a couple of things. So one, I think as a team and as individuals, we were better able to manage, I guess, the stress and the high, I guess, the demand and the stresses of the work that we were doing. We were able to do it with, I guess, a clear eye. So I think that's one thing. The other is we were able to, I feel like, the relationships changed, right? So the relationships deepened because people saw that they knew I cared about them, but that I was taking a risk and being vulnerable in this way. Like, I think it gave them permission to be vulnerable too. And so I think it changed the relationship that I had with people that I was working with, that I was supervising and providing direction to. And it also changed our relationship as a team, right? And so I think we grew deeper as a team. So that's one thing. And then the last thing I would say as I think about this is, I think it empowered the team, right? So, you know, I've always been a fan of sort of empowering people and giving them permission to go off and do their own thing, go off and make mistakes and to learn. And I gave people permission to bring another aspect of themselves to the work. And when people are able to be their full selves, when people are able to be their integrated selves, they're going to, and they trust you and they know that you care for them in a really deep way. They're going to bring something to the table that you're not going to get any other way.
And so for people who are managing, that's just, you just dropped a gem that's not even, that wasn't even on the menu for this conversation, but like, that's a management tip. If you can, you know, show vulnerability to your team and that kind of encourages and then allow them to bring a part of them to work that maybe isn't a part of the job description, magical thing can happen. Let's switch gears for just a second, because I know that the idea of mindfulness, self-care, meditation, et cetera, for some people, and I'll admit even for myself, it can almost feel or sound like a leisurely or luxury or luxury, a luxurious thing to do. When you are so in the midst of the day-to-day kind of concerns and to-dos, and you're just really trying to be more productive. And I think that that's one of the things that most attracted me to your message and to your strategies, because as I told you after our conversation, I really started thinking about, okay, how am I using my time? And it helped me to make better decisions, which we'll talk about later. But how is this idea of mindfulness connected to productivity or lack of productivity? And especially when you think about all of our, the information that we are digesting just in our brains, or just, we're just accosted with media and our phones, social media, the news, our people are texting and calling us, like the overload of the digital piece. How does mindfulness and what you're saying about, you know, being aware and, you know, meditating and all of that, how does that connect to basically make me more productive? Because I think people who are, see cultivating a mindfulness practice as a luxury, there definitely is a connection, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to answer this in two parts. Remember productivity, because I might forget the second part of the question. So the first part about it being luxurious. So when you really break it down, mindfulness isn't anything new. It's just a new word that we've made up to think about a concept that's been around since the beginning of time, right? And there are many ways to do it. So mindfulness is really about paying attention to the present moment. Paying indistractable attention to the present moment.
I like that definition. That's so good.
so you can do this through meditation. You can do this through yoga. Those are some of the ways that we sort of commonly think about it. Those are some of the ways that it's been packaged. But there are many different ways to do that. You can be mindful as you're cooking. You can be mindful as you're eating. And what that means is that as you're doing those, engaging in those activities, you are being fully aware and present to what you're doing, and you're not trying to do something else simultaneously, right? So we're breaking through the myth of multitasking, if you will, right? Where people, I think, believe that it's possible to do multiple things simultaneously at the same time.
And do them well.
And the science is proving that that's not necessarily the case. Our brain can only do one thing at a time. And when you are trying to multitask, what you're doing is you're forcing your brain to switch back and forth really rapidly, and you're taxing yourself. And so that's why a lot of the science and research that's coming out is saying, actually, you could get this done faster and be more productive and have a better outcome if you actually take the time to say, I'm going to do this one thing first, and then I'm going to do the second thing. I'm going to focus on writing this email to my colleague and making sure that I give all the information that he or she needs in order to actually follow through on the request. And then I'm going to shut off my email and move to the next thing and write this blog post or work on this essay or write this proposal, whatever it is. But we live in a place and time where it's normal for us to try to multitask and do all of those things simultaneously. And what we do is we stress ourselves And we don't even realize that we're stressing ourselves. Like we have a physiological response to all of that. You know, so we're creating feelings of anxiety and stress in our bodies and for ourselves sort of emotionally and spiritually when we're doing that. And so mindfulness is really about just taking a moment to be clear about what your intentions are, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about consuming information, when we talk about, you know, technology, mindfulness for me has helped me to sort of take a moment, take a step back and say, you know what? I actually have control over what information I'm choosing to consume and how I choose to consume it and when I choose to consume it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to watch the news particularly. So I don't watch the local news, and I don't watch news first thing in the morning. I don't check my email first thing in the morning. I'm not checking, you know, my social media first thing in the morning. I don't do it when I go to bed at night. That's me being mindful and sort of setting parameters around my life, you know. And so going back to something that you alluded to previously, it really boils down to having a clear vision for how you want to be spending your time, both professionally and personally, and priorities that align with those, align with that vision. So we're talking about if at work you're working on, say, completing a proposal for a particular project, or you're working on getting promoted to the next level, then your priorities and your schedule need to align with that. And you need to be able to say yes to things that align with that and no to things that don't. The same thing when it comes to technology. You know, when I'm in my email, I'm not in my email because I'm bored or because I am under the illusion that if I'm busy, that somehow that means I'm being productive. But I'm in my email because I need to respond to this request from Amanda about the Package Your Genius Academy, right? And so I'm going to be clear about me responding to that, not looking through what else is in my inbox and responding to something else popped up. No, I'm not going to do that. And we can talk about this a little later, but there are ways that there are tools that you can use to help you sort of retrain your focus and stay on track. But that's how I think about the connection between mindfulness and technology.
Mindfulness. And what about productivity, though? Right. That was the other piece.
So in terms of
being mindful makes you more productive because you're focused instead of fractured. Is that what?
Yeah, exactly. So you're. It allows you to focus. It allows you to be clear again about your priorities and whether or not the activity that you're engaged in at a particular point in time is actually tied to that. And then I think of it like this too. Mindfulness allows me to slow down so that I can go faster.
Break that down. I like that.
Mindfulness allows me to slow down so that I can be more productive and go faster. So going back to what I was saying about our fractured attention, about our multitasking, if I am trying to, I can speak for myself. So I'm going to be more productive if I'm doing one thing at a time. So I can't, for me, try to make dinner and email you simultaneously and feed the dog. Like if I try to do all those things at one time, you know, maybe it might take me 2 hours, right? And I've made a mess in the process of doing that. And I probably,
and then you got to clean.
Exactly. You know, and I end up dropping my phone in the soup because I'm trying to email you and, like, you know, stir whatever it is simultaneously. And then, you know, I kick over the dog food bowl or whatever it is, because I'm trying to do all those things. Whereas if I just took a moment to say, okay, you know what, I'm cooking right now, I'm going to focus on doing that. And maybe while things are simmering on the stove, maybe I can then take care of the dog. I can refill the dog thing. And maybe once I've done that and I've turned off the stove and the food is cooling down, then I can take a moment to respond to this email that I've been responding to. And maybe that takes me, you know, half the time, as opposed to me trying to do all that simultaneously. And then I've made a mess. I've burned myself. I've kicked the dog.
You've got typos in your email.
Exactly.
Okay. So tell me, if you consider yourself and your company mindful techie.
Yes.
Tell me what would be some of the symptoms of the opposite person. So the mindless techie. If we were saying, you know, as entrepreneurs, I know many of the people who listen to this podcast are, you know, they're building personal brands or side hustles, or they are full-time entrepreneurs. Some of them are building their brands at work, you know, so these are professionals who are on a mission to do something, right?
Yes. And
for someone who is not yet a mindful techie operating in that lane, what are some of the symptoms? What are some of the things that will start to pop up in their lives?
The number one symptom is that you're constantly in a reactionary mode. You're constantly responding to things as opposed to being proactive. Like you're constantly saying, oh, I should have anticipated that. Or you're constantly sort of thrown off by things that are sort of coming at you. So you're responding to the water holes of emails. You're responding to like the endless notifications from your social media, and you're overwhelmed by all of that. And you feel like you're just not in control, right? You go to bed every night sort of completely physically, emotionally, spiritually exhausted. You might have strained relationships because you're not able to be fully present with people if you're able to show up at all. And so those are some of the symptoms for that. And then as it relates to entrepreneurship in particular, one of the ways that it manifests too is not having clear priorities, right? And so people sometimes wonder like why they aren't able to move forward in the business. It's like, well, you're doing too many things. Mm-hmm. You're trying to be like the Chinese restaurant, like as I've heard it explained before, where they have pizza and hamburgers and
chicken wings
and everything on the menu. And it's like, well, maybe they're able to have all those things, but are they doing any of those well, right?
Right.
Whereas if you sort of take the time and say, you know what, I'm going to do tacos. That's what I do. I do tacos. It's really simple. We're going to have veggie tacos and we're going to have chicken tacos. That's what we're going to do. And that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to get that right. And then maybe we can add, you know, chips and salsa to the menu once we get to that point. And then once we get that going and that's going very well, then maybe we can bring in a fish taco, add that to the menu or whatever
right,
it is,
right.
You know, as opposed to saying, you know, we're going to do the pizza and the chicken and the hamburgers and the Chinese food and Thai food, all of that together.
That restaurant is probably not making as much money, right, as it would be if it focused, as you said, on a more edited menu, and they kind of built their reputation on that. So is that something you see too? Like people not earning what they could potentially earn because they're not being mindful about this is where I'm going to focus my energies. This is, you know, here are the relationships I'm going to cultivate. Here are the networks I'm going to grow. Type of thing.
Yeah. Because because you end up spreading yourself thin. And then people don't know what they come to you for. That's the other thing. So your audience isn't clear on like what they can come to you for. And so they're just like, well, we know she does it all. And the people might think really great things about you, but they're not going to hire you because they don't know that you can do their one thing that they want. You know, that you can actually do that well.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Something that I hear too from people who reach out to me to learn more about the academy or to become a client is this sense of feeling all over the place. Like that's a sentiment I hear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you think that I sense that the mindfulness or mindlessness fits into that too, because if you are not being mindful and you're just kind of, like you said, operating and reacting instead of being intentional about how you spend your time and even what your week is going to look like. What is your goal for this week? What is your goal for this month? Like so many of us are just moving day to day.
Yes.
Right. And so I think that feeling of a lack of focus,
yep,
a lack of direction, feeling aimless. Would you say those are all two symptoms?
Yes, those are symptoms, and that's a symptom of a lack of a clear vision, a lack of priorities that are related to that vision. And when you're able to get clear about that, I think things come into focus for you. And I think starting with this as little as 5 minutes before you go out the door in the morning to reflect on like what you're going to do that day? And like, what is going to count for you in terms of a success? And thinking about, okay, what are the one or two or three things you need to accomplish in order for you to get to whatever that success is, can be a starting point. And then obviously the more you do that and the more time you spend reflecting on that upfront, you know, the clearer your priorities are going to be and the more impact and transformation you're going to be able to see in terms of your effectiveness and your productivity in terms of actually getting things done. The other thing I want to say too, going back to the entrepreneurship piece is, I think oftentimes people are doing things that they're not supposed to be doing.
And what agreed.
What I mean by that is we all have a unique way that we're supposed to be of service. And when yes. you are in the, when you're in this frenzy of responding to what the world is giving you, you're not able to get clear about like what you're supposed to do. You're not able yes. to get clear about like what is your lane and how do you get in that lane and how do you actually stay in that lane? So I encourage people when we talk about mindfulness is it's about also getting still enough to be able to listen to your heart and to use your head and your heart together to create wisdom. And the wisdom that you create is what you actually use to figure out how you move forward, right? And so you have people that step out and they're like, well, my heart told me to quit my job. It's like, well, that's great. I'm glad your heart told you to quit your job and to launch a business doing, you know, cupcakes. But did your head tell you to put together a plan before you did that? Like right. they have to work together. Mm-hmm. And so what I find when people sort of are sort of stuck or they end up in situations where they're really being challenged on the particular way when it comes to entrepreneurship is because they're doing things they're not supposed to be doing. They're not listening. They haven't taken the time to listen to their heart. They don't even know what their heart sounds like. So they're just responding to the world or they're responding to, you know, well, they're my partner said I should do this, or, you know, my friend said I should be doing this. Like they don't know your heart. They may love you. They may want the best for you, but they don't know what the universe has in store for you. Only you know that. And that's you can't get there if you're not taking time to be still and listen.
I think that's a whole other episode on how do we learn, because so many people don't even know, well, like you said, what their heart sounds like. So learning how to listen and learning how to cultivate that internal compass, that's what I call it, mm-hmm. So that you can get that direction from inside of you and from your source. But I wanted to back up real quickly because I love giving people something tangible that they can take away. And the other day when we met for coffee, you had a journal. You were talking about what you do or what one can do in the morning when you get up. Mm-hmm. And some of the questions a person can ask. So you know, you have your own journal that you use to kind of organize your day. So can you?
I have it here. Yeah.
Perfect. So can you share with us your daily prompts for yourself? So that maybe we can, and I know Miko's going to have a version of this journal for sure at some point.
Yes.
Soon, but for now, I know some people use the 5-minute journal. Some people do, you know, the miracle morning formula, mm-hmm. but like, what are these questions that you ask yourself and that you make sure you get clear on every morning?
Yeah. So the first thing I will say before getting into that is, you need to do what works for you. Right. And so with mindfulness, in particular, there are different approaches, and you have to find out what works for you. For some people that might be, you know, a steady diet of yoga and meditation. For some people that might be cooking or walking the dog, like whatever that combination is for you, find out what works for you and don't allow someone to tell you that they're a guru or a teacher or an expert and that you have to do it a certain way. The only right way to do it is the way that works for you. So that being said, so the questions that I use, the first one is, you know, my purpose is, and the reason I do that is I have a sense of what my purpose is, but I find that as I grow and as I evolve, as I like expand my perspective, I get clarity on what that purpose is, or I get clarity on like what aspect of it I'm supposed to be focusing on in that moment. And so the prompt of sort of my purpose is, or asking myself, what is my purpose? How am I supposed to be of service? That allows me to really be just practice listening to my heart, as we were talking about earlier. And so I just practice sort of taking a few moments, listening to what comes, and then sort of writing that down. And
is it for the day or your purpose in general?
In general. In general.
Okay.
So my purpose in general.
So your global purpose.
Yeah. So I do that on a daily basis. And then for the day, I have a prompt that asks, you know, my singular intention is dot, dot, dot. So what is my singular intention today? My singular intention might be to love. If I am feeling like, you know, I'm holding on to unforgiveness or having a really challenging like work relationship or whatever it is, if I am challenged by sort of going with the flow, like my intention might be to just go with the flow that day. Like that's my overarching global intention. And I think about how I can infuse that throughout the rest of my work day. So my intention for me, and again, you can figure this out and figure out what works best for you. I try to set my intention based on how do I expand my comfort zone. And so generally it's what I use it as a way to sort of expand in that way. It's in the area that I feel like I'm being challenged. And then the third part is what are my key activities? And so these are just like, this could be your to-do list. In my journal, I have, you know, 6 or 7 lines. And I generally try to stay within that. If I have anything more than that, you know, for me, that's not really something that's tangible depending on the day. Sometimes I don't accomplish everything on my list. And so I have to move things over to the next day or to another day, and that's fine. And then the last thing I ask myself is, what am I grateful for? What am I thankful for? And it's just a reminder for me as I'm going throughout my day, and, you know, we can lose ourselves in the world and in the work and, you know, hanging with friends and, you know, walking the dog or whatever it is. But just to take a moment to just reflect and say, you know, I'm grateful, you know, for the earth that's supporting the house that I'm sitting in right now, that, you know, the land was tilled by, you know, my ancestors that fought for me to actually have the freedom to be in this moment right here, right now. So it grounds me and connects me to my purpose. Just being grateful, thankful.
I love that. And I think that while that is your personal kind of list of objectives, not objectives, but the questions that you ponder at the start of each day, mm-hmm. I think that's a great list. That's a great starting point for mm-hmm. someone who is kind of even overwhelmed by planning systems. Like that's pretty simple. It's like, mm-hmm. what's my overall purpose? What are my objectives, or what was the second one?
What's my singular intention?
What's my singular intention?
Just one.
One singular intention. Mm-hmm. And then what are some objectives? Do the objectives have to help you fulfill the singular intention, or not necessarily?
Well, so they don't have to necessarily be directly related, but hopefully what you should find is over time, if you're writing down activities that aren't connected to your purpose and your intention, my hope would be that you would be seeing the disconnect and that you would be making the appropriate changes in order to make those align better.
I think you just spoke a word and hit on something that I think we've kind of been talking around, which is, you know, when you have intention and vision or even a goal, if the, you know, 5 or 6 main things that you have on your to-do list for each day, or the 5 or 6 projects that you want to work on this week, or the one big thing you're doing this month, if they're all not in service to your bigger goal, it's like, what are you doing? And I see that happen with a lot of people where they say they want one thing, but when you look at how they're spending their time, it's completely out of alignment.
Yep. So, and I think that goes through the 7 steps. I'm not sure if you want to get there now, but
I absolutely do. So you've got a class coming up. You're going to be teaching and training in depth on this because, you know, we could be on the podcast all day talking about these topics. I love it. And you have so much to share. But I have a copy of the starter kit.
Yes, it's the starter kit.
Outside, and this is like the inside I'm going to share.
Mm-hmm.
It's like pretty cool. You can kind of see it, but you have to, you can download it, right? To
yes.
your website.
It's free. So people go to my website, mindfultechie.com. That's MIDFULTECHIE.com. And they click on the banner at the top and they can get a free copy.
I think you left out the N, MIND.
Yes.
I'll link to it so they can get to it. But you're going to be talking about mastering the art of work-life balance and getting more done in a digital world. So can you tell us a little bit about what that's about, who it's for, and what you will be teaching in that class?
So it's for purpose-driven professionals or even organizations. So if there's an HR director listening, you know, this is for professional development as well for at the organizational level. But this is really about people that, you know, perhaps they're good at what they do. You know, there's an entrepreneur or as someone that's working maybe at a nonprofit or they are working at a business and they like the work that they're doing, but they're just really challenged by how they balance the work with their personal life. So that the there might be an imbalance where they're committing so much to their work that they feel like they don't have a lot left over for their personal life once they come home at the end of the day or at the end of the week. And so throughout the course, we walk through a framework, the 7 steps for mastering the art of work-life balance and getting more done. And I'm just going to really briefly walk through those. We're going to walk through those. They're going to be exercises. And it's going to be over the course of 3 weeks. The classes will be recorded. And so if people aren't able to participate live, they can obviously listen to the recording. People have access to be able to send me questions. It's going to be homework. And so the idea is that we're all going to be able to share and grow together. And we're going to be able to do a number of things. So the first is, you know, if you don't already have a vision, you know, we're going to work together to develop a clear vision of what that looks like for both your personal in your professional life. In your professional life, maybe that means you want to get promoted to the next level in your organization. In your personal life, maybe that means you want to spend more time with your partner and your kids. Maybe you want to, you know, take a, you know, an art class or a foreign language class, like whatever that is, we're going to help you work together to actually put together what that vision actually looks like for you. And then we're going to help you put together some priorities to actually align with that, right? So if you want to get promoted and go to the next level, like what does that actually take? Like, what does it actually mean? Do you need to take on a specific project? Are there certain conversations you need to be having with your supervisor? In terms of actually, you know, taking that art class, you know, do you need to actually do some research and start there, you know, doing some research on that, on classes that are available, and figuring out like where you can fit it in your schedule. Like that, it can be as simple as that. So the first part is going to be helping you to develop your clear vision. The second part of that I mentioned is setting those clear, achievable priorities. And then the third part, which ties the first two together, is really investing your time wisely, right? So we're going to take a look at your calendar and we're going to say, you said you wanted to be promoted. You said you wanted to take this art class. Let's look at your calendar and see if the stuff you're actually doing, the stuff you actually have on your calendar actually aligns with that. And if it doesn't, then let's talk about how we actually, how do we actually make that alignment? Let's look side by side at what your calendar currently looks like and what you want it to look like. And let's figure out like what challenge you need to make in order to actually get there. And part of those changes you need to make in order to get there involves step 4 and 5 respectively, which is about saying yes and no to priorities that align and do not align with your vision. So if you want to be able to take this art class, but you know, something else comes up and someone is asking you to, you know, to dog sit for 6 weeks.
Because you can't dog sit because you don't have time.
Exactly. You can't dog sit because you don't have time, because your priority for that quarter, as much as you might be loving your friend and you want to support them and help them, you decided that you want to take this art class for yourself because you've been putting this on the back burner for too long.
I think that's hard. That's really hard. I can speak to personally. I think it's hard for people, number one, to say no to the people they care about. But number two, and it's something we were discussing, is to realize that even a no today could be, it's not necessarily a complete no. It's just right now, because my priority right now is
maybe
at another point.
Exactly.
I can fit that into what I'm doing.
Yeah. So you can say no, not right now. And just, and you don't have to be mean about it. I think people associate the word no with being bad or being mean. Like, you can,
or with cutting things off completely.
Yeah. And it's, and you can be nice about it. You can maintain that relationship. And you know, I think the example that I gave when we talked together was, you know, a friend of mine reached out a while back about an organization that I've been involved with supporting, to ask me to serve on the board and ask me to actually, you know, for a significant financial ask. And I was able to take time to reflect and look at my calendar and say, you know, I don't have the time that she's asking for. And I was able to say to her, look, I love you. I love the organization. I stand behind it. I want to continue to be involved in some way, but I'm not able to commit to the level of time that you're asking for. And I'm not able to make the financial commitment that you're asking for right now, but I still want to figure out ways that I can be involved. So let me know if there are other opportunities for me to serve. And, you know, we're still friends, and I'm actually going to be serving on an advisory committee for a conference that's coming up that is, you know, going to be less of a time commitment. But I was able to politely say, you know, no, and to preserve that relationship. And one thing I'll tell people is, so people will love you for saying no. Believe it or not.
Really?
People would rather you say no and follow through on that, as opposed to saying yes and then not being able to fully commit to whatever it is that you committed to. Mm-hmm. So I found that people are, at least I appreciate when people are able to be clear about like what their priorities are, and to tell me no, they can't do something, as opposed to saying yes, they can do something and then don't follow through on what they said they were going to do.
Right. Right.
So that's one way to think about it if you're struggling with the yes and the no part. And then the six and seven. So step six is around seeking support. And so that's mm-hmm. what we're going to be talking about in the class, how you actually seek out people who are actually maybe support you and hold you accountable for achieving your vision and realizing your priorities. And then the last one is about being flexible. So stuff happens.
Right.
I think about this all the time. You know, my mother is getting older, and you know, stuff happens. And so there might be a time where I need to go down to see her, to hang with my brother and to help take care of whatever is going on down there. And that might mean that whatever priorities that I set in terms of taking this art class and getting promoted, like that might need to go out the window for now, because my immediate concern is the health and welfare of, you know, of my mother. And so be flexible. You know, things change, life happens. It's okay. Your priorities can change. Actually, I reflect on mine pretty much on a quarterly basis, like every 90 days. I found that works.
I love that.
Some people do it monthly or weekly or whatever. Figure out the time frame that works for you. Right now, 90 days works for me. And that might change too. I'm just being flexible and going with the flow.
I think what you just said about, you know, giving the example of your mother, you said, you know, well, if I need to go and take care of her and spend time with her, my priorities of the art class and the promotion might go out the window. But I think knowing you, they wouldn't go out the window. They would just move down the calendar or get flow into another place on the calendar, which is what I think is, you know, you say it and you do it so easily, but for so many people, there's a disconnect between no and not now. Mm-hmm. And I think if you say, okay, mom is ill and she needs some time, for many people, the first inclination would be to simply say, oh, that art class, that's out the window, or you know, that forget that promotion, it's not happening. And it's like they shut off a part mm-hmm. of their goal just because their priority needs to shift momentarily. Yeah. And it doesn't have to, like, you know, you don't have to throw something away just because, as you said, things change and you have to be flexible. Once you understand, okay, this is the amount of time that I have, it's not realistic for me to add this obligation right now, but October is looking light. I think it'll fit better there, or maybe the first of the year when this major project at work wraps up, then I can divert my focus back to this goal, but not, okay, I'm done with that. I have to kind of change course and I'm never going to come back to it.
I think that's such an important point. You know, I think so for mindfulness and just the reflection practice and just sort of taking time to step back and to have some perspective has allowed me to realize that I'm running a race, but I'm not sprinting. I'm running a marathon. And I don't know if people have run a marathon that they've been done some kind of endurance sport or they've engaged some kind of like multi-month or multi-year project. But if you've had that experience, then you know that there's an end goal, that there's a finish line in sight, but you can't try to sprint the entire way, because if you try to do that, you're going to burn yourself out, right? And so that's this conversation that we're having about work-life balance. We're not trying to sprint. We're trying to be available for the long term to be able to serve at our highest level all the time, right? And you can't do that if you're trying to serve people from an empty cup. You have to figure out how you are actually refilling. And you can't do that if you're working nonstop. You can't do that if you're going 100% all the time on focusing on that promotion or that website project that you're working on. You have to be able to find that time to refill. And what I tell people is you can make the choice proactively to do that, or you can let the universe do it for you. So I know we often,
that's ominous.
we've often, you know, hear people that, you know, they get sick.
That's true.
Some people, you know, drop dead, you know, and I don't mean it to scare people, but I'm just saying this is the reality, right? So, we have a choice, and I tell people that when you transition, ultimately your inbox will still be full. And
let's hopefully hope not.
No, and hopefully, you know,
let's hope we can get to inbox zero before we die, Miko.
and hopefully, like, people that love you will say lots of wonderful things at your memorial service, but nobody's going to be talking about how many emails you answered.
This is true.
So
they are.
So, but the other thing too is that if you're working for an organization, you're replaceable.
This is true.
They're going to hire somebody else to just pick up where you left off.
They're not going to go under because
Exactly. They're not going to say, you know what, you know, Amanda, she didn't make it. You know, let's just close down the business. That's not how it works.
Personnel.
So you have to have some perspective about this, and that this is about the long term. And going back to this whole question about alignment, you need people, places, and things and organizations that you're going to work with and work for that align with that. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, you might not be in that place, and maybe part of your work and part of your priority setting needs to be about figuring out your next step, right? So if you're working for an organization that doesn't value you in terms of helping you achieve that work-life balance, investing in your personal growth and development, then maybe it's time for you to change. If the person that you're partnered with is not pouring into you and supporting you in that way, maybe you need to reevaluate that relationship. And
even friendships.
Yeah. And friendships.
Nothing's off the table.
Exactly. And again, it doesn't mean that that needs to go away forever. It just means, you know what, right now we can't be in close, you know, communion right now, because right now I'm in a different place. And maybe there'll come a time where the relationship might change and we're going to be on the same page again. But right now I need to focus on X, Y, and Z, you know.
Speaking of not now, and then I want to wrap us up. You sparked something that I thought of for people who have lots of ideas, especially, you know, idea people like me. You know, we have ideas for things we want to write or create, services we want to launch, events we want to host, right? Mm-hmm. I think that can be a source of stress and anxiety, even when you have more ideas than you can realistically execute at any one moment. And I think applying what you're saying just to that set me free in terms of thinking about, you know, all of the things that I want to do. I'm currently working on a book. I'm nearing completion of a book project, but I have like four or five books that I want to write. And so even to, you know, think of that, that can get overwhelming, because then you're like, well, which one do I write first? Or, you know, which service should I roll out now? Or I've got this great idea, but I'm working on this project. So when is there time? And I think in the past, I've been more prone to say, I can't do something because I'm too busy, or I have too many other things on my plate to add one more thing in, or to chase one more idea, or to fulfill even one more dream. Mm-hmm. But I think when you think about it in terms of, you know, understanding your current priorities, understanding the time that you have, and saying, this is a great idea, but it's just not today's idea. Mm-hmm. This idea can wait. Mm-hmm. And, you know, should it stand the test of time in terms of my interest? Should I still be interested in it 3 months from now or 6 months from now? Should it still be relevant 3 months from now? And should, you know, people still be interested in it 3 months from now? I can pursue it then. But it's not, okay, I have to throw away this thing because I am busy doing these other things. So I think for entrepreneurs and creative people, that can foster resentment, mm-hmm. you know, to the present, right?
Yep.
Whether that means, you know, your current obligations at work, in your business, or even with your family. You know, I have young kids, so we're gearing up for back to school time. And one of my kids just told me he wants to start playing a sport that he didn't play last year. So I thought, okay, all right, okay. I love you and I support you, but I'm thinking logistically about, you know, the hours that are going to disappear on my calendar, in my schedule, because it's going to require, you know, transportation to practices and games and that sort of thing. And I'm excited because we kind of spoke as a family about, you know, our global goals for each person earlier in the year. And
that is so awesome.
Yeah. And this came up over dinner. We had dinner and, you know, we were talking about, well, what does each person need support around? And what do you ultimately want to achieve? And he had mentioned, you know, a group sport. My other son mentioned he wants to play a different instrument. And so this is not new, but it's kind of like, okay, I'm in support of these things you're doing and who you're being and becoming. And so knowing that, okay, you're going to play this new sport this semester and maybe next semester, but we can't pick up like three sports. We can do one, right? We can do one new sport, one new instrument, in addition to all the other things they're already doing.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to share that as a note to, you know, other parents and other people with who are birthing and rearing and raising multiple things. Like, I'm raising this business, but I'm also raising these kids. And so, you know, and then I'm cultivating my marriage. You know, I'm trying to keep that going and growing, right? And so, you know, how do you move things around and say to yourself and not feel like a failure, right? To say, well, we can't do everything today or this semester, but guess what? We can handle, as a family, one new sport, one new instrument. And then if you want to do something different next semester, we can reevaluate and reconfigure.
I think that is such an important way. It's such a powerful way to think about it. You know, it's one of the reasons that I do my goal setting and right now in quarterly increments, because it allows me the flexibility to change if something doesn't work out or for a change of mind. But I wanted to touch on something that you mentioned, I think is really important, which I think is, you know, particularly for entrepreneurs, when you're trying to figure out what's going on, you know, being clear about your purpose and how you're supposed to do a service is something that grounds me. And so when I find myself in a place where I'm not sure what direction to go in, I remind myself about my purpose, and I remind myself about, and I listen to how, whatever the idea is, how does it feel to me in the moment as it relates to my purpose? And that might change. And so I used to be the kind of person where, like, okay, I start something, I got to finish it, you know, and it has to be perfect the first time I do it. I have now moved to a place where I iterate and I say, this is good enough for now. And I'm going to move on to the next version or to the next level. I will also, I've learned to just listen and be in tune, where I might start a blog post or I might start a different type of project. And when I come back to it, you know, it's like, you know what? I'm not feeling this right now. I'm not going to do this. And so either you drop that or you come back to it whenever you know, however you move back to it. But so I've learned to just go with the flow. It's okay if I start a book and I realize that I'm just not feeling it at some point. And I'm like, you know what? Something else is calling me in a stronger, in a different way right now. So I'm gonna do that. And I find that the 90-day increments allows me that flexibility to say, okay, I'm going to try something that's going to give me enough of a window to sort of work through any resistance. And then if at the end of the 90 days, like I'm still not, you know, I'm not feeling it, or if I'm still super excited about it, I can continue to move forward, or I can, you know, move on to the next thing, you know.
Right.
I don't have to lock myself in and beat myself up.
Exactly. And I think that beat yourself up, that is a key thing that I see a lot with high achievers. But every time we have these conversations, I feel like I get closer and the concepts get a little bit more cemented in my mind and become a little bit more embedded in how I do things. So I'm super excited to, I'll share that again, to attend. I'm enrolled. I got my ticket. I'm in class. I'm a student. So we're switching seats.
Yes.
So I'm going to be in this class and I'm excited to deepen my understanding. You said it's a 3-week class, which sounds
yes.
crazy.
Yeah,
so, like we're going to talk about all that in 3 weeks, which is good. Yeah.
It's going to be really power packed, but here's the thing. So you can get the starter kit for free. It's online. You can work through it yourself. But if you feel like you want to go deeper.
I want to go
class.
Deeper.
Yes. So you can take the class. So we start on September 7th at 8:05 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, it's going to be live September 7th through the 21st. Those are Thursday evenings, 8:05. 1 hour. We're going to have time for people to ask all the questions they want. During the live webinar, I'll be available for email support. And it's going to be really intense. We have a lot to cover in those 3 weeks, but you're going to have homework assignment. We're going to have each other and you're going to have myself who are going to be available to help push you and help get clarity on what it is you want to do. And ultimately to put together a success plan to help you really find this work-life balance. And what does it look like for you in terms of getting more done in both your personal and your professional life? Particularly in the place and in the world where we are hyper connected to all sorts of information and devices and technology. You know, this is really been impactful for me. And one thing I want people to know is I'm not teaching something that I've read in a book. I'm teaching what I have lived. And so everything that I teach, everything that I write about, even this starter kit here, this is born of my own experience. I've taken the best of what has worked for me and put it together in a framework that I think is going to be really powerful and impactful and useful for folks.
I love it. And I know for those of you who may be listening to this episode after the class, if you just visit mindfultechie.com, you can learn about, you know, the upcoming classes, yeah, courses and programs that Miko has available, because I'm sure this class is going to be very successful. So you'll be offering it again if you end up missing this iteration. But hopefully you can get in on the inaugural class,
yes,
and be one,
yes,
of my classmates.
Well, yes,
Miko, it has been incredible talking to you, building here with you, and just getting more clarity around these concepts. And I can't wait to sit in class and learn more from you in a few weeks. And I just want to thank you for your gift for packaging your genius and offering that to us in a way that we can all grow. And are there any final words you want to share with our audience?
Yes. So there's actually a special for people that want to register for the course. So you can actually pay what you can.
Wow.
Between now and if you register by August 31st, you can actually name your price. So you can actually put whatever you can afford, you can put that in the box and, you know, that will register you. And then after that, the price will go up to a firm $97. But so if people are interested, cost should not be a barrier. You should be able, if this is something that you want to do, this is an area where you know you need support, go ahead and sign up. And we would love to be able to work with you and have you in class.
Well, thank you for that generous offer of Pay What You Can. And thank you for being so generous with your time today and sharing your wisdom with me and with the listeners of Package Your Genius. Mm-hmm.